The whole purpose of writing the book was to understand my family. I have to be honest and say that I was just fascinated at how my parents interacted.
Conrad John Nadine IV was born 6 weeks after his father, a pilot in the U.S. Army Air Corps, died during World War II as he flew over the small village of Saint-Michel-de-Saint-Ain. The village population was about 300 and not far from where Allied forces had landed on Normandy about 4 days earlier.
I'd say 80 miles or 60 miles inland is this little village where just purely happenstance, my dad happened to be flying over it that day looking for targets of opportunity. So one of the targets he saw were these fuel trucks. So he strafed them. He was successful. And then as he was pulling up, he clipped a tree and his plane flipped over and crashed and he was killed.
The amazing set of circumstances by which Nadine came to know his father is the basis of his book, Delayed Legacy. It wasn't until 1994, a year after his mother died, that he found a footlocker with many of his father's belongings. Nadine says his mother, whose maiden name was Catherine Henderson, didn't talk much about his father or that she had this footlocker.
Why she didn't tell me that there was a footlocker with uniforms and with other things in it that would just have been so fascinating for me to know about with her here, I don't know.
In his book, Delayed Legacy, Nadine writes, "I knew my father partly through a sepia-toned portrait of a young man in uniform and partly through remnants of long-ago conversations." Nadine is one of an estimated 183,000 children who lost a father during World War II, according to a nonprofit organization called the American World War II Orphans Network. It's an organization founded in 1991 by Ann Mix, who, like Nadine, also lost her dad in World War II. The organization tries to help those orphaned children learn more about their fathers and come to terms with the void that was left. That void for Nadine was filled to some extent. As he also writes in his book after examining the contents of the footlocker, "Now I see him clearly, more so perhaps than many whose fathers returned or never left."
Because I have this wonderful time capsule that freezes forever the emotions they had for each other, but also about the war and about being separated. It freezes what they did every day, who their friends were, what they discussed, how many bridge games they played, or did they drive or walk to the drugstore that day, or did they take the bus to Joski's downtown and to the post office. So much detail that I really feel like I know them better through these letters than many people would know if their parents had lived and they never asked them those questions. You just don't come home every day and say, "Did you take the bus to the drugstore or what?"
By 1997, Nadine thought his research of his dad had come to an end with the discovery of the footlocker. It contained quite a bit of material, and he thought he had learned all he could about his dad's wartime experience, his parents, and their relationship. But then in 2002, he received a package from France. It was from a Sylvie Grandin, who was writing on behalf of her father, Michel Grandin. The name was unfamiliar to Nadine or his wife, Pauline. In the envelope was a letter from Ms. Grandin asking for information about his dad. What Nadine didn't know at the time was that his father, for all these years since World War II, was admired, respected, and revered as the American pilot who saved the people of Saint-Michel-de-Saint-Ain from the Germans.
That is the way they feel, and that is why they created this plaque, this memorial. They had a dedication ceremony. The mayor was there, the deputy mayor. Their congressman equivalent from Paris came in to make a speech. It was quite an emotional event. Many, many people at that gathering, there were probably a couple hundred there, were of an age that they could have remembered this event. My dad is their hero. There was no other emotional tie to the war, lasting tie, and there was no other death in the area or from the village in the area.
All this was very surprising to Nadine. Whether his mother was aware of how the people of this village felt about her husband, he doesn't know. But he says there is a silent generation, like his mother, reluctant to talk for one reason or another about the war years.
There are many of them with us, and they have many stories to tell, just as the French who witnessed all those events have many stories to tell. And remember, they were occupied by an enemy. We were not. So they have many stories to tell, but from a very different angle.
The Footlocker 1994 and the envelope from France in 2002 and the dedication ceremony of a monument honoring Lieutenant Colonel John Nettie III by the people of Saint-Michel de Saint-Tin would appear to bring Nettie's research to a close. Yet one more discovery was made.
Through a very strange set of circumstances, we found another cardboard box in a house that my mother had lived in for years with her second husband, had been found by the people who eventually bought the house. So we had missed it completely as we cleaned out that house. There was the original telegrams to her, the missing in action, the killed in action, and many other valuable things, and why she took those with her, why those weren't in the footlocker, why were they with her in a second residence with a second husband, I have no clue.
Nettie says the set of events which led him to write Delayed Legacy have given him and his children the opportunity for a more open dialogue. He says not only has he come to know more about the father he never knew personally, his children have come to know their grandfather and the kind of person he was, and perhaps why they are who they are. Nettie says this may be his story, but it is not the only story like his.
There are a lot of people out there that have a story like this in their attic or in their footlockers or in their parents' minds, if their parents are still with us. And my regret would be that if they read this story and said, oh, that happened to him, but it would never happen to me, and they don't pursue their legacy. That would be a shame.
Tomorrow, Conrad John Nettie IV and his family will celebrate Veterans Day much as he has for many years, flying the Stars and Stripes to honor those who served during wartime, and especially those who made the ultimate sacrifice. For Texas Public Radio, I'm Ernie Villarreal.